Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. This week, our favorite, the best, Albany Bureau Chief of the New York Daily News, Ken Lovett. Ken Lovett knows more about Albany than anybody I know and knows all the inside scoop. When he is noticed on Monday morning for his columns in the Daily News, everybody listens. Okay, Ken, let's do the new Siena poll. Governor Andrew Cuomo leads Molinaro by 19 points among likely voters. He's over Cynthia Nixon by 35 points with Democrats, and Gillibrand and DiNapoli have large early leads versus unknown challengers. Let's take it one by one, Cuomo and Nixon.
Well, that's the heavyweight primary battle, right? And, Cynthia Nixon has been out there. She's been aggressive. She's been hammering him, but she doesn't seem to be gaining much traction. According to the Siena poll that came out on Wednesday, Cuomo has a 61% to 26% lead. And, that's significant. Now, she'll say, well, he's been spending money and he had the convention, the Democratic convention where he got 95% of the delegate vote and, Hillary Clinton went for him and Joe Biden went for him. Yes, that helps you in a primary. She's been out there for 3 months hammering him, but hasn't seemed to make headway yet.
But I don't get it. What's with this electorate? I mean, here is a governor who is in charge of his own administration. Frankly, he's surrounded by thieves. You got Joe Prococo, who has been convicted of three felonies. Todd Howe, who is in and out of his life one way or another. And people aren't seeming to hold him responsible for that at all, especially when he rode into town and said, I'm going to clean Albany up.
It is amazing. Now, look, his support, it's not deep. It's not like we're seeing that people absolutely love him. If you look, there are some warning signs. You look at his job approval, for instance, 59%, I think it was, say he's doing a fair or poor job. That's not a good thing for a two-term governor. I think his personal approval rating was at 51%. But yet, those two numbers would tell you people don't necessarily like him, but they're prepared to vote for him.
So, let me follow up with that for a moment, Ken Lovett. Have you ever met, here's a personal question, an honesty question, if you don't answer it honestly, a lightning bolt will hit your head. Have you ever met anybody who has worked with a guy, who knows the guy, who likes him?
I have met people who have worked for him and like him.
Really?
I have met people who work for him and like him. He's a tough boss. He is tough. Look, I have seen other elected officials, Elliot Spitzer, who obviously flamed out, but the people who worked for Spitzer really liked Spitzer, but they believed in the cause that he was pushing. I don't get that sense. The cause for Cuomo to a lot of people is that you're pushing Cuomo and not necessarily an agenda. Certainly, what we've seen in the second term for the governor is a lot different than what we saw in the first term for the governor. In other words, he was more of a moderate on issues in the first term. He was taking on unions. He was looking to deal with pension costs and all these other things, property tax caps. And now in the last 4 years, we've seen a much more liberal. And that was because he got scared in a primary a couple of years ago, 4 years ago. And with Cynthia Nixon, we're seeing more of the same. Yeah, the last 4 years has been a definite shift to the left. And, the governor isn't giving people, other than the corruption issue, which doesn't play, by the way. Always.
No, it doesn't.
The stat, I've given it to you 100 times on this show, that in 2014, three sitting state lawmakers and one sitting congressman all ran for re-election while under indictment. All four of them won, and then they all left office early because they got convicted. One of them now, though, Michael Grimm, is running and is the front runner for the Republican primary to reclaim his congressional seat. So you could keep pushing the issue, but for whatever reason, people say they don't like corruption. It's a big deal, but they don't vote on it, and I'm not sure why.
Well, there is a question of the ethics in New York State. It's time to clean up New York. Everybody knows it. You get the Blair Horners and all the people and the learners from Common Cause and all these people, what we call the goo-goos, the do-gooders. They come up and they have great plans for how to stop some of this stuff. and yet no interest in the legislature at all, and nobody's holding him accountable.
No interest in the legislature. Look, you know, every time there's an arrest, people say, well, do you think this is the one? You know, Joe Prococo was convicted. Is that going to be the one that gets them to act? And, you know, I always say, we had an assembly speaker in Sheldon Silver and a Senate majority leader in Dean Skelos who were indicted within weeks of each other. If that wasn't enough, the two most powerful people in the legislature were indicted within weeks of each other, and that wasn't enough to get them to act. They were both convicted, although later overturned and faced retrial. But regardless, they were convicted. That wasn't enough. Prococo wasn't enough. I'm not sure where the tipping point is. I really am not.
I live in a different state, Massachusetts, where we have initiative and referendum, where we have, you can get something on the ballot, you can vote.
You sound like a Republican.
Scoundrels out. Well, I'm all for it. I'll tell you right now, I've been watching this legislature for years. It's horrible.
Yeah. The thing that is frustrating to a lot of people is you have bills that would pass, except a majority, whether it's the Democratic majority in the Assembly, the leader, or the leader in the Senate who's a Republican, won't bring it to the floor for whatever reason.
Have it in the Congress, too.
And so, yeah, so that's a big frustration to a lot of people, that there are bills. And, you know, we know in the Assembly, for instance, when they were dealing with the issue of mixed martial arts, Carl Hastie, who was a sponsor of the bill originally, said he was not going to bring it to the floor as Speaker until the backers at the time got 76 Democratic votes. It wasn't enough that they had 76 votes with the Democrats and Republicans that it would pass. They need 76 Democratic votes to pass anything, and then it'll come to the floor. And it's the same in the Senate. The governor right now is on a big push for a gun control bill known as the Red Flag Bill, which would allow teachers, parents, and law enforcement to go to a judge and say, I think this student or this person is a threat to himself or others. You know, we fear that they're dangerous, and they can issue an order to take away the guns from them or their household. There are enough votes to pass it in the Senate, but the Republicans don't want to bring it to the floor. Now, granted, it wouldn't pass with a Republican majority, but there are Republicans who would likely vote for it.
Who would have to vote for it.
And Flanagan, to this point, the Senate Majority Leader, John Flanagan, is not bringing it to the floor. There's a week left to go. We'll see what happens. But, you know, that's how Albany works. So when you talk about initiative and referendum, if you were unhappy about that bill not making it to the floor, mixed martial arts, whatever the bill is, you can always petition to bring it and let the voters decide.
Now, Ken Lovett, you make a very interesting point here. Flanagan, the Senate leader, is now seemingly very angry. I would be too if I was him, because the chances of his being not majority leader and losing his majority are quite good, although you never can count on anything till you see it. But this anger is palpable, isn't it?
It is. It is. They are in jeopardy. There's, you know, this is going to be the fight of their lives, because the thinking is, if the Republicans lose this year, and then, in 2 years, it's a presidential year again, which always favors Democrats, or often favors Democrats.
Especially in blue state New York.
Especially in blue state New York. That's what I meant. Yeah. Then you may not see Republicans in any kind of statewide position for a long, long time. Because don't forget, we haven't elected a statewide Republican since George Pataki in 2002 won a third term. We have, you know, we used to have a Republican attorney general. We had a Republican, longtime Republican senator, U.S. senator in Al D'Amato. Right now, the only bastion of Republicanism is the state Senate. And the only reason they have that is because a Brooklyn Democrat named Simcha Felder sits with the Republicans rather than the Democrats. Because right now, they only have 31 Republicans on their own. I'm really 30 because one of them's not there anymore. And you need 32. So they're hanging on by a thread. And if they lose it, there's a good chance that could be it for a long while.
Yeah, you bet. Especially when the gerrymander gets repealed and some of those Senate districts, which are so self-serving, get moderated. Ken, let's go back to my original list. Now, Mark Molinaro, wonderful guy, I think, fought very hard for the nomination. And I don't know why he did, because he's a Republican in a Trump year. And I don't get it. But he wanted it, didn't he?
He did want it. And, you know, John DeFrancisco wanted it. Some others thought about it. But Molinaro won, and won easily. He doesn't have a primary, which is helpful for him because he doesn't have to spend that money. Although you could argue it would get him some name recognition, because
sure,
a lot of people in this poll don't know who he is. And nonetheless, he's actually doing better against Cuomo than Cynthia Nixon is. You know, he's getting kind of a generic Republican vote, but they had him, what was his numbers? 56-37, Cuomo's leading him. So, you know, it's still a large lead, but...
Well, it is. Well, you know, we trust polls, but do we really trust this last Siena poll? First of all, it's very early, and there's an old saying that nothing happens until Labor Day.
Yeah, look, we have 3 months from now until the primary. I personally would have liked to have seen Siena. They did a model that was likely voters for the general election. But right now, really, the Republicans don't matter. They don't have any primaries. We would like to know what likely voters in the Democratic primary think, because then we would have a more accurate view. I also don't know for the upcoming primary. I also don't know this year, given the anger on the left at Trump, there's anger at Cuomo from the left. You know, we don't know if that's going to translate into votes and just how many if it does. So in that regard, the usual polling model, if all of a sudden there's this uprising on the left, that's going to be hard to pick up in a poll if you're going by traditional voting habits, because you might have a lot of people showing up for the first time that never did. So, yes, he has a wide lead. Even with all that, I think it's going to be hard for him to lose it unless something, you know, significant happens. But that said, I don't know, because it's such a weird year. Will there be a blue wave? Won't there be a blue wave? Will people who never voted before come out? Won't they? That's hard to pick up in a poll.
Speaking of Cuomo, I read somewhere, maybe in one of your columns, that President Obama, the past president, had spoken to a number of Democrats, would-be people who would run, but one he did not speak to about the possibilities was Andrew Cuomo.
Yeah, I would say he's in the second tier of names right now, and I would be surprised if he runs. It doesn't mean he won't. I think he likes having his name out there. It gives him stature. You know, anytime you're named as a potential presidential candidate, it gives you stature. But there's just so much. I think a lot will depend on how he does it. If he destroys Cynthia Nixon in the primary, then yes, he's back in the game. If she gets 40%, 43%, I think it's going to be harder for him, especially with the progressive unrest.
You know, Ken, one of your recent articles that I found fascinating was what happens to the lobbyists in something like this. We all know that if somebody gets elected and into power, he brings his lobbyists with him. You go to the lobbyists who can deliver. And yet, there's some fear among the traditional Republican lobbyists now that it looks like the Senate may flip.
Yeah, they're hedging their bets, so to speak. Andrea Stewart-Cousins, who's the leader of the state Senate Democrats, the minority leader, she held a fundraiser last week in Albany, and it was packed, which is not surprising given the makeup of the Senate right now, 31-31. But not only was it packed, but there were a lot of Republican lobbyists. And one veteran lobbyist said to me, there are a lot of people there you never would have seen at an event like this. So I think a lot of people are seeing the writing on the wall, and you want to get in on the ground floor, right? You want to say, I'm with you, even if you've been associated with the Republicans.
Are you
That's
telling,
how lobbying works.
It is, and it's disgusting, by the way. Are you telling me that the Republicans who are covering their so-called covering their bets and going to a Democratic fundraiser will be forgiven for all the years of giving the Democrats a hard time?
What do they used to say? It doesn't hurt.
Like chicken soup, right? It doesn't hurt.
And lobbying is so, you know, it's funny because when Pataki was in office, and that's a long time now, it's 20 plus years, almost 25 years, I think lobbying yearly was something like 9 million. Now it's, you know, 200 million over. It's
worth
incredible
it, right?
Incredible how much it's gone up, but they get the access.
And well, it's worth it if you pay to play and you get a thing that's worth millions and you've invested 100,000, that's a good investment.
And it's not just getting the money. You know, we look at a lot of things because it's an easy link, but when you look at lobbyists and you say, yes, they gave X amount or their client gave X amount and they got this, you know, back in return. But it's also about stopping things from happening. And that's a huge part of lobbying, that, you know, this is going to hurt my client. And so, you know, how much money do they save when you stop a bill from happening?
Sure.
And I'm sure that even adds up to even more money than what they actually get in their pockets.
You're right. So let's talk about Kelly Eros. He was the guy who ran SUNY Poly, who's now on trial. Allegedly, you know, basically, he was paid to play. Is that what we would say?
He was looking, according to prosecutors, to curry favor with the governor. Calleros was all about power and keeping power, and he was there for five governors, and, you know, he played ball with them. And so whether he was directed or not, he took it upon himself, he, according to prosecutors, helped rig bids that benefited big donors to the governor for projects upstate, for some of the governor's most important projects upstate.
So, with that said, we see that the prosecutors are letting some of the people who allegedly did the bribing off the hook.
Yeah, well, at least one is testifying, but the case is narrowing. And so maybe they feel like it was too broad and we think we can get these convictions because, you know, things have changed in terms of the courts and what the Supreme Court and what's acceptable. But they have dropped a lot of charges, and they've dropped charges totally against several of the defendants who are now scot-free. But they're going, I think it's down to four people now. And they've even dropped some of those charges against them. You know, obviously they're zeroing in, and we'll see what the strategy is. But what was once thought to be a 5-6 week trial coming up is now expected to be maybe 2 or 3.
Wow. And so do you have any predictions? I mean, will Calleros be found guilty?
I can't predict. You know, trials are tricky things. I think sometimes, you know, I heard when Shelley Silver, the former assembly speaker, was being tried the first time, he was telling people close to him he expected to get convicted, but he thought he would win on appeal. I think the feeling is that in this atmosphere and, you know, major cynicism on the part of the public, and we've seen this from some of the jury questioning in the Calleros trial, that people don't trust government. They think there's a lot of corruption. But ultimately, it's going to come down to what's legal and what's not legal.
Ken Lovett of the Daily News, tell me about Sam Hoyt.
Sam Hoyt, a former state assemblyman slash former aide to Governor Cuomo when he was in the assembly before he went to Cuomo. He was sanctioned for having an improper relationship with an intern. He's married. And then when he was with Cuomo, he resigned abruptly. And then it turned out that a woman was accusing him of sexual harassment and having an affair with her. The matter went to JCOP, the State Ethics Commission.
Which is under great pressure itself as being an ineffective and tool of Andrew Cuomo.
Critics refer to it as JCOP.
Yes, they
not
do.
Not JCOP. And so they put out a finding the last week, I guess, that Hoyt did not, that the woman was not credible. And so basically there'll be no sanctions on Hoyt. A lot of people criticized the ruling, whether it was Cynthia Nixon, Zephyr Teachout, who's running for attorney general, or even the Republicans and Molinaro. They said that JCOP is controlled by the governor, and it's no surprise, and that you need a really independent watchdog that can look into these kinds of things, not something controlled by the governor and the legislature.
Ken, let's talk about the AG's race. There are four major contenders right now running for that. What sense can you make of it for us?
The Siena poll had Tish James, the city public advocate. I think she was up. She had 28, and next was Teachout at 18, so it's not that far apart. And they only polled three of the four who were running because when they started the poll, Sean Patrick Maloney, who's a Hudson Valley congressman, wasn't in the race yet. So they polled James, they polled Teachout, and they polled Alicia Eve, a former Hillary Clinton and Cuomo aide. And it showed that James had the lead, but at 28%. So it's still a close race.
So I was going to ask you about this Sean Patrick Maloney. We've interviewed him many times here on public radio. But he's getting beaten up terribly because he has decided to run for two offices at the same time.
Yeah, I have to say, this is a first in all the years I've been here. He's not only running for attorney general or trying to get on the ballot for the primary, but he's also running for his reelection for his seat. The Democratic primary for Congress is later this month, and then the primary for the attorney general's position is September 13th. And what Maloney has said is he's going to try and petition his way onto the AG ballot, and if he gets that nomination, then he will decline the nomination for Congress. But a lot of people, they say, well, then it's a slap in the face to his own constituents. But they also feel that with the fight for Congress that's going on and the Democrats trying to take control, Maloney comes from a swing district. He's popular there, but Trump won his district 2 years ago. And so they're worried that if he runs for AG, that's another seat in play for the Republicans.
So isn't that stupid? I mean, even if he runs, I mean, I'm trying to get to understand this. Even if he loses in the race for state attorney general and he runs for Congress again, there are going to be an awful lot of people who say, hey, wait, what were you pulling there?
Yeah, you're going to have that. The Republican is going to say, you don't even want this job. You've made that clear. You ran for a different office while you were running for this job. I mean, this is even different than when you see, you know, someone running for president, you know, and, you know, oh, are you going to serve two terms? So maybe that's the only comparison that, you know, a governor or a U.S. senator who's also at the same time running for president.
I saw Lyndon Johnson do it.
But I've never seen it like this, where someone is running for two different offices and they, you know, they're going for the nomination for both at the same time.
You know, every night a lot of people watch Chris Cuomo. They watch him in the morning. He's the governor's brother. What happens if Cuomo decides to run for president? That's Andrew Cuomo. What does Chris Cuomo do?
It's a good question. That is a very good question. Although from what I hear, his ratings weren't too good his first week or two. But
he made a big mistake. He should have stayed in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, you know, CNN has had Cuomo, the governor Cuomo, on Chris Cuomo's show in the morning. But Chris Cuomo doesn't interview him. So, yeah. You know, I guess that's what they would do.
Well, I think it's a tough one. So we have a whole bunch of stuff that we're all going to be watching out for here. We're going to be watching whether the Republicans keep the state Senate, which a lot of people don't think is going to happen. We watch Simca Felder, who is that extra Democratic vote who sides with the Republicans, making some very strange decisions lately. So, for example, Felder seems to be opposing red light cameras. Is that because of people in his district speed?
No, I think because he's trying to tie it to his plan. He wants to put basically armed guards in the schools. So he put out a bill that ties the two of those issues together.
I see.
And the Democrats said no way. You know, the Democrats in the assembly said no way. You know, that's an issue. Look, we're heading into the last week of session. And next week, and I have never seen one like this where there's a very good possibility that nothing gets done. The big issues that remain, whether or not they legalize sports betting, which the Supreme Court recently said states can do.
And which New Jersey has done.
I don't expect that'll happen, but there's a possibility it will. You have the issue of decoupling the student testing from teacher evaluations. The assembly has passed that. The union really wants it. The Senate Republicans have yet to allow that to the floor. Matter of fact, they just put out a bill that tied it to an expansion of charter schools, which was ruled out of hand by the Democrats. So there's a couple of issues that are remaining that could or could not get done. But I wouldn't be surprised if it ends next Wednesday with a whimper and they all just go home and start running for reelection.
Yeah, well, we have a lot to look forward to see what happens here. Ken Lovett of the New York Daily News, thank you so much for being with us. It really was a remarkable education lesson for me, as always, because you really are very close to it all and you really get what's happening. We thank you.
Thank you. Be well.
The Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.